Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
Welcome back, guys. Make sure you subscribe to all three channels. Evolutionary, the original, EE Arts, and the newest, Heart's Home. This one's going up on Heart's Home. And so what we wanted to talk about this time was Narasimha Deva. Narasimha Deva is an incarnation of Vishnu, or it's taken to be an incarnation of Vishnu. Vishnu is the creator of this universe and also the protector and sustainer of this universe. And Cindy's actually channeled Vishnu. He's come through twice. And big, huge, expansive energy. That the first time that Cindy channeled Vishnu's energy, she was actually very sick, and it was a turning point, and she started to get better.
You know, that was such a curious time in my life, because I really, going through an, I call it a reawakening, and having things come at me like they needed to for me to find my own balance and my own healing. I really think in so many ways, because I was so ill, I was that much closer to the veil, and it allowed his energy to come through very, very clearly, very easily. And I thought about this for a long time, because I started to experience some really huge leaps and bounds in my healing. And what I was shown is that all possibilities of getting anything that I wanted to have in this lifetime came through with Vishnu's energy. It's like he reopened all of those key possibilities. He reopened all those roads and paths to healing that I could possibly need or want. So it was like being given a key, and it's because I wanted it. I had to be in a space of desperation and want to receive this healing, and I did. And when I channeled him, I probably cried for half the day too. So that just means there was a lot of things in my life that I had not processed. I did not cry over. I did not wane over. I should have paid more attention, but for whatever reason, I didn't have time. I didn't want to feel the pain, so maybe I ignored it, socked it away, shoved it away. But you can't do that, because all of that energy builds up in your life. It's not like it goes away just because you ignore it. So you can only white knuckle for so long in this life, and things are going to break through, and you're going to have to process them. And that's what I did. And that's what, you know, half a day of crying, I mean, it is really a very small, small amount. You know, I've done a lot of tears since then too, but very necessary tears, and a very necessary to sit with the pain and sit with that energy that I should have given attention to begin with. But I didn't know I had to, and I probably didn't have time. You know, raising children, full-time work, and partner at the time was extremely sick, and new baby, so I didn't have time to stop and whine and sniffle. But guess what? That just stays in your energy field until you do process it.
Absolutely. So I was asking Cindy, feel into the energy of Narasimha Deva, and what do you feel?
He's such a huge protector of those who are in need or wanting protection. Those who are, we might consider them underprivileged, those who are in a little bit of a bad situation and feel that they need protection. And the other thing that I feel with his energy is there's this really big, it's hard to explain, a big bulbous ball of love. I call it big love, I guess, because he can look over those without judgment and give them the love that they need without that judgment. And it's so solid and it's unwavering. Very beautiful being that you would definitely want to have in your life, would always be there if you ask.
Yeah, you know, when I was in Florida, when I was first putting together the concept for the channels and evolutionary, I was working on evolutionary. I started to upload videos and then was contacted by that group that begins with an I and ends with an I. And right before that group reached out, and, you know, they wanted to recruit me, and I turned them down. And then there was a little instance with a car going through a fence across the street and heading right for the house that somehow didn't hit the house, didn't hit me. And it went bouncing down the street. The card, because I had this, and I still have them, these tarot cards. What my habit was I would take 5 to 10 decks and pull a card from each deck, one card from each deck, and get a message for the day, a focus. And out of the one deck, this card kept up like 5 days in a row. Narasimha Deva came up. And so it told me that I was being protected, but it also told me there was danger. And yeah, there was. And what's the likelihood of drawing the same card out of a deck of like 52 tarot cards? I think that's what that deck had. Maybe it was 56. You know, 5 days in a row. I mean, mathematically, it's like almost an impossibility when you're shuffling them. I mean, it's so close to nothing. It just let me know that I was being protected, but also that there was a need for that protection. So again, I would do my mantras, and I'm going to give you at the end a mantra that's not so tough, because there's some mantras to Narasimha Deva that literally the words might have 36 letters in them. Not easy for those of us that grew up with English. But we have one that's much, much simpler that we're going to share that's very, very effective. So yeah, definitely protection, and protection against stuff that could be very, very overwhelming and formidable. So, you know, but also this loving, compassionate, understanding energy as well.
Mm-hmm. And is wise enough to know where you need the protection and where you need to grow. And that's an energy I really appreciated with this being. It's not like he takes over the world for you. No, he provides the protection you need in the exact area that is needed so that you can grow and get stronger in that area, because this world, we're not on a level playing field at the moment. There's a lot of beings that want to help us be on a level playing field, but they want to do it in a way that's fair, that's where karmically it's balanced, so that you are actually building yourself up so that you can be on this playing field as a member and not just a target. Because let's face it, so many of us, if we have a bright light, can be a target. And that's why one of the things that we teach is, when you do mantras, we teach about the cloak. As your light is getting brighter and brighter and brighter, beings recognize that, and this is a being here that would definitely help you with that.
You know, it's said that Vishnu says that he in every age takes form at the darkest of times to return light and restore balance. And again, there's this very, very symbiotic energy between Vishnu, what we would take as, you know, the creator of this world, and Krishna, the original perhaps form of Christ consciousness, and then Yeshua. They have this same sort of loving divine masculine compassionate strength.
Well, the divine masculine is so important because it's that loving protection. It's that thing where if someone is weak, they protect it in a way that it is different. They protect it in a very loving way. So it's like using your masculinity as the power, instead of using that masculinity to tear stuff down and destroy, you use it to protect and create.
Absolutely. So there's been, traditionally, there's 10 incarnations of Vishnu, and Kalki is still to come, which we'll talk about in another video. And the last incarnation that was here on the planet, and according to most sources, would be Krishna. Some people actually view Buddha, Gautama Buddha, as an incarnation as well. But in reality, when we look to source, and source is, you know, the source of all consciousness, part of, we're all part of that infinite ocean of consciousness, and Vishnu is a part of the ocean of consciousness, obviously, but also the creator of this universe. And in the stories, we see he takes this incarnation in order to once again battle the demonic forces that we call the Asuras. And so once again, as we have this same story that repeats itself time and time again with what's called boons being given sometimes to even demonic energies, Asuras. And it speaks volumes in many different ways to how people can understand how the universe works and take advantage of how the universe works in order to, you know, basically be in service to themselves in a selfish way that takes advantage of others. And this is exactly what happens when we are introduced to Narasimha Deva. What happened was in a previous age, as this starts out talking about Vishnu, is known to have taken 10 incarnations to stop the reign of evil on this earth and bring peace and prosperity everywhere. So Narasimha avatar is considered to be his fourth avatar. Now, prior to that, Vishnu took incarnation as a boar and basically defeated this demon. And then, you know, this demon's brother ends up basically praying to Brahma for innumerable periods of time in human span in order to get a boon. And then Brahma, and again, Brahma is not worshipped, interestingly enough, in Hindu tradition, you know, because perhaps he gives boons too easy. Brahma, the creator, Brahma is said to come out of the navel of Vishnu to help bring about the material universe. And then again, we've given allusions to the fact that when you see the biblical story about Abraham and Sarah, or Abraham and Sarai, and we realize it's taken from Brahma and Sarasvati and that older tradition. There are many that believe that truly the whole Abrahamic tradition really is an offshoot of a Brahmanic sect that departed from the Indus Valley a long time ago. Well, there's this fight, and so Vishnu takes the form of a boar in his third incarnation and ends up defeating this one demon. The demon's brother does penance and is serving a long period of time, basically giving homage to Brahma, to the point where Brahma grants him a boon, and it's basically that he can't be killed by any weapons, can't be killed as long as he's touching the earth, etc., etc. All these different conditions. And, you know, again, these are stories. This is what comes across from the guides. These are all stories to give us, you know, a simple way, a parable, so to speak, to understand, you know, how things work in this matrix that we find ourselves in. So, you know, as you see here, he decided to go deep in the jungles, pray to Lord Brahma for the boon of immortality, which he couldn't get. But he did get the boon that he wouldn't be killed by weapons and he wouldn't be killed by any man, and et cetera, et cetera. And this then causes a problem, because then this demon ends up beating the gods up in Devaloka. When you hear the word loka, loka means world. So Devaloka is like the world of the devas. So you could relate that to a higher vibrational frequency existence. And when you look at this too, one of the things that's very interesting that we'll have to get more info from the guides if possible is that this battle is supposed to happen in the Satya Yuga, in the Golden Age. Isn't that interesting? So there's battles that are occurring up in, even in a golden age, in the higher realms. You know, again, we might think that you know, everything is always perfect when we're outside of a Kali Yuga. But no, Kali Yuga is the deepest, darkest, muckiest, hardest period to exist in some ways, but at the same time, it can also induce the most growth. But even when we go up into a Satya Yuga, there can still be these battles going on of titanic proportion. So you see Lord Indra destroys Hiranyakshipu's army. And now that this is, again, this is one of the names of the demons there, or the asuras. Again, demons, demonic tendencies, again, that tendency towards service to self above and beyond even having any consideration for others. This is really what it's all about. And this is really what creation is all about. What are we going to feed? It's the old two wolves, you know, myth from Native American legends. And it goes on even as we go up into the higher densities, though in different ways. And, you know, we've gotten from many different guides, including our contacts at the Galactic Federation, of which most of the Galactic Federation is on what we would call 5D. So, you know, they are on a higher density that would appear to be more heavenly. But is it infallibly perfect? No, anytime we have anything that comes down and breaks down off of source, there's going to start to be this dualism going on, and this duality is what allows there to be motion, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And depending on where we are in the light, you know, that duality is going to look just so. It's like when you look at shadows, you know, there might be a full shadow because of where the sun is placed, but when the sun moves, there's less and less of a shadow, but then also the shadow is darker and stronger too. So it just kind of depends on where we land in the tapestry of life. You know, how much light is there when we land is going to depend on what kind of duality we live in. And I really feel strongly that we have gone through the darkest of the dark, the muckest of the mire, and I feel we're definitely on our way out of this super dark Kali Yuga, because we're all beginning to understand that we are the light. We are the paintbrush. We are that thing that can color the world. And just that knowing and understanding, well, that tells me that we're moving out of the darkness.
And Sita has her two cents. So when you see this, and it talks about Lord Indra destroying his army, and Indra is mentioned a lot in the Vedas. And as time has gone on, the focus, if you listen to the scholars, they'll say the focus shifts to Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma's predominance. In the Vedas, much is spoken of Indra and also Agni. And Agni is the god of fire. And Surya, the sun as well. Savitur, Surya. Again, when we look to Indra, it's fascinating too. And this is a whole other topic, that Indra appears to be more of a position. It's more of an appointment. It's more of a seat of power. It's a title. Yeah, absolutely. Because it is also referenced that this Indra was the Indra of this age, this, you know, particular time. And there will be other Indras. You know, again, there'll be other beings that will have Vishnu's, you know, appointment as the creator of a particular universe in which countless beings are playing out the dramas daily in this constant interplay of consciousness exploring itself, because that's really what it is. It's consciousness exploring itself, because the consciousness part is eternal. So think about that. You have all eternity. You have all eternity. Each life is, you know, we've related it to a chapter in the book, but the reality is, you know, each life might be just a simple letter in the bigger story, it just to play it out in the time period. So what happens is, you know, it looks like darkness is going to rule, because of, you know, the boon that Brahma gave to this asura. And then what happens is Vishnu basically takes the incarnation of Narasimha. This is the asura, who's very, very human-like, right? I mean, again, the human form is something that is very, very common out there. And yeah, you will see beings out there, perhaps even in your lifetime, that are very, very humanoid, but not exactly us. And there's all sorts of beings with other tendencies, such as some absolutely will have certain animal characteristics, and others insect, and others avian. So what happens is he incarnates, defeats the demon, restores order, and all is well until the next time. It's that constant story of the interplay between our inner demons, yes, and our inner desire to serve the greater good of all beings. The only way we could truly move up is through service to others. But that does start with service to self, because first we have to become a worthy enough, good enough version of ourselves where we can actually offer help to others.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, you know, if you've had a lot of trauma, moving into a position where you can help people, that's important, but recognize that you might be very reactive. So when you're trying to help people, the information they give you might be kind of turned the wrong way for you to then give the right information back. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to help people. I mean, look where you can help and look where you do feel solid. And sometimes people might be in so much trauma that they want to ignore themselves, so they kind of bury themselves in other people's problems. But you can't do that. You have to turn it back and look at yourself and look at your own problems, because once you are whole, then you're more able to really, really help people in a very strong, very methodical, very meaningful way. So always, always, it's always best to heal yourself first, but that doesn't mean you wouldn't get a calling to help others. So
absolutely. So the mantra that we're going to be doing is not this one. As you can see here, this is the first word and that's the second word. So I know our brother Keith out there, if you're watching this, you had said before, boy, that's a tongue twister. Now this is a tongue twister. So we're going to do this one, which is much simpler, and some of it might sound a little familiar. Narasimha tava das soham. So Narasimha tava da soham. Narasimha tava da soham. And it's a mantra of protection. So this is again a mantra of protection that you can call on. It's very needed in these times against the dark forces, and they recognize these energies and absolutely don't want to have anything to do with these energies.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if I can do this mantra, you guys can do this mantra. It's I already screwed it up because I'm nervous, so let's try again. Narasimha tava da soham. And what I would do is like write that down on a little cue card and just put it right in front of me so I can say it as many times as I need to with my eyes open. And then I might shut my eyes and memorize the first word and then open my eyes and do the rest. I have really weird ways that I memorize stuff, but just have fun with it. Play with it. Appreciate that you're starting, your beginning, this even trying. Appreciate that you're even trying. That's so important.
So Narasimha is the principle for destroying the seemingly indestructible. According to Vedic lore, whenever evil influences rule the earth, an incarnation of the divine will arrive to save humanity. Narasimha was one such incarnation. It seems there was an evil ruler who was so powerful, because of a boon, that he could not be defeated in battle. It was said that he could not be defeated either indoors or outdoors. Vishnu, in mercy and compassion, came to earth as Narasimha, a man-lion being. Narasimha sought out the evil tyrant's dwelling place and waited. At twilight, he entered, found the tyrant, dragged him to the threshold. Holding him firmly, Narasimha began to speak. It is twilight, neither day nor night. It's the threshold of your dwelling, neither inside nor outdoors. I am neither man nor beast, but a combination of both. Therefore, I now destroy you. And he ripped the evil tyrant to pieces. From that time to this, Narasimha has been invoked to gain freedom from evil situations. Narasimha Tavada Soham.
And remember, when it comes to Vishnu, Vishnu can come into this world and be anything he wants because he's the creator. So he can become for your growth too. He could become a bum. He could become a pet. It's all for your growth. So I think that's what's so beautiful about Vishnu is he really does take the time to come and incarnate and help us in ways that we might not imagine.
So we look forward to your comments. We will be doing more videos. We'll definitely do a video on Kalki. And we can cover other incarnations as well. And obviously many, many more devas and stories from the ancient past. As always, guys, thanks for your support on Ko-Fi and Patreon. We couldn't do it without you guys. Much love. God bless and namaste.
Namaste.